this morning, if the Lord would bless me for a short period to stand before you, I'd like to bring to you a very practical message. At least I would consider it very practical. And the title that I would put on it is simply Happy. Happy. You know, we all want a happy life, don't we? That's something that I think would be a rhetorical question. If I said, who here wants a happy life? I think the answer is in the question. Nobody would say, Brother Nathan, you're wrong. I want an unhappy life. I don't think anybody here would say that. It's something that we all desire for ourselves. And it's something that men in general are looking for. That's why you can go to self-improvement aisles and bookstores and you can see all these books that deal with having a happy life, if you will. But let me say this morning, dear friends, that I believe the key to having a happy life is not necessarily found in those self-improvement aisles. They're not found, or the secret to a happy life is not necessarily found on the couch of a mental therapist or something along those lines, or what you might hear Oprah Winfrey say on the radio or Dr. Phil on the TV. The answers, I believe, to having a happy life are found right here in the Word of God. The Bible has a lot to say about how we as men can have a happy life. Let me say, too, this morning that I believe God wants His people to be happy. Some have the notion that God is sitting in heaven and He's sitting on the throne right now and He's just wanting nothing but dread and contempt and fire and brimstone in the life of His children. That He's just very excited to cause them heartache in life. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that God is, first of all, not an angry God because we have peace with God through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And having peace with God through Jesus Christ, now He desires for His people to be happy. You find time and time in scriptures how we're called upon to be a glad people, to be a delighted or delightful people. We're told to rejoice in all circumstances of life. It doesn't matter what the case is. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're told that you ought to be rejoicing in those circumstances. And so there again, I find biblical proof that I think the Lord wants His people to be happy. Let me say too this morning that the key to happiness and the answer to happiness is not necessarily found in external circumstances. A lot of people think that. A lot of people have the idea that it's the circumstances in their life and those things outside of themselves that dictate whether or not they are going to be happy. Well, dear friends, by and large, that is not the case. In fact, we find, I believe, several examples in the Bible that would speak to the contrary of that. Some might think that happiness is found in wealth and in possessions. They might say, you know, if I just had a little bit more money in the bank, I think I'd be happy. Or we might drive through a nice subdivision here in Fort Wayne and say, man, that is a really nice house. If I had that house, I think I'd be a little bit happier. Or coming up here this morning, I saw some nice trucks, Brother Ralph. And the thought entered my mind, you know, I think I might be happy if I had a truck like that. Boy, that's a really sharp truck. The other day I was mowing my yard and I was thinking about all the yard work that's ahead of me. Brother Joe Smelser knows some about the struggle that I'm facing. It needs a lot of work and I'm taking volunteers. But the point is, as I was riding on my mower, mowing the yard, I was thinking to myself, self, you know what you need? You need a one family or maybe a two family compact John Deere tractor. And one that you can just kind of drive over the mowing blades and it'll attach itself. And then you can get a nice aerator and a tiller to pull behind it and a nice spreader to overseed the yard. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that would really be nice. That's what I need. That's going to make me happy. You know, Brother Ralph, I could go and maybe buy that if the bank would give me a loan. But the point is, I could go maybe get that tractor, and by the time I did a couple of laps around my yard with the aerator or the tiller or whatever the case may be, I'd probably be saying, man, I'd be so much happier if I had hired somebody to do this job. But that's the way it is. Every time we think that we are going to be happy by having some kind of possession or some greater wealth in our life, the only thing it's going to lead us to is wanting more and more. And you can even look to the pages of the Bible and find where that was Solomon's experience. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, you find there where Solomon says that he withheld nothing from his heart's desires. Everything Solomon wanted, Solomon got. He was the richest man that ever lived and ever will live. And anything he wanted, anything his eyes saw and he thought that might be nice to have, Solomon got it. Oh, then we find in verse 11, after he says in verse 10 that he's withheld nothing from himself, in verse 11 he goes on to say that all these things that he's accumulated to himself, they're nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit. Dear friends, that's what it'll lead to. It'll lead to more trouble in your life. We ought to be a little bit more content, I believe, with what the Lord has blessed us with. Instead of saying, I just want a little bit more, I want this, I want that, I know I'll be happy with that. We ought to be rather satisfied in the blessings that we've been given of the Lord and recognize that all the wealth and all the possessions on this earth are nothing but vanity. They're nothing, as one preacher said, but painted up toys. And they're going to lead to nothing but vexation of spirit. So I don't believe this morning that happiness is found in wealth or in possessions. I don't believe this morning that happiness is found in wishing for somebody else's life. Sometimes you might find somebody that has that opinion. Boy, if I could just have the life they have. Maybe they're a doctor or a lawyer. I'll tell you now, lawyer's life isn't all it's cracked up to be. They say, man, I wish I could be a doctor or a lawyer or a bank president. Or, man, they're retired. I wish I could be retired. And we kind of sit around and we think, man, it might be nice to have that other person's life. I don't believe that'll lead to happiness either. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 25 and you see where Christ is teaching there about the parable of the talents, you see that he gave five to one man, two to another, and one to another. And that man then that only had been given the one and hid it and didn't use what the Lord had given him, he was condemned of the Lord in sorts. Now, the point that I want to make there is that that man, I believe, was very unhappy having been condemned by the Lord. And he was condemned simply because he didn't use the life, the talent, he didn't use those things that the Lord had given to him. Maybe perhaps he thought it might be better living somebody else's life. But either way, he was dissatisfied, perhaps, and the Lord condemned him for that. We find, too, that happiness isn't in geography or in relocation. You ever heard anybody say, I wish I could move somewhere else? Boy, it'd be really nice to be in Hawaii or Southern California. I've said that before. Anybody who knows Sister Tori knows that she was born and raised in Grant County, Indiana. And I will never get my wife out of Grant County, Indiana. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. She's born and raised there. She's going to stay in Grant County, Indiana. The other day I was telling her, I said, hey, Tori, you know, it might be nice in 30, 40 years from now when we retire, wouldn't it be nice to retire somewhere like Hawaii or somewhere? She said, yeah, that'd be nice. I think she knows that she'll never actually do it, or maybe we'll never retire. But the point is, some people have that notion that if I could just get away from here, if I could just have a change of scenery, maybe it's not to a tropical location, maybe they just think they need to get a little bit further away from where they're at because over there, the grass is going to be greener. There's not going to be the problems over there that I face here. Dear friends, having moved a little bit in my life, let me assure you today that the problems you face here, you're going to face somewhere else. The problems don't just go away because you decided to relocate. My parents have moved multiple times in their lives. I believe they would tell you that is their experience, that the problems they faced in Indiana, they faced in Kentucky, and the problems they face in Kentucky, they faced in Indiana. And I think that's why they've encouraged me, say, Nathan, don't move. Put down roots. Stay where you're at because the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. But looking to a biblical example of that, I think we find that with the nation of Israel, don't we? There they were in Egypt under great oppression and bondage under Pharaoh. They couldn't wait to get out of Egypt. They couldn't wait to be free from all that oppression. And so the Lord delivered His people out of that oppression, didn't He? And then on the way to the promised land that they were so happy about, a land flowing with milk and honey, on the way, what was their response? I can't believe this. I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish we were back there. They had better food. They had water. I can't believe we're out here in the middle of nowhere. They weren't happy having that simple change of geography, were they? Then when they finally got, after 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their sin and disobedience to God, when they finally got to the land flowing with milk and honey, they weren't very excited about it then either. We can't take that land. It's a land possessed with giants. There's no way that we're going to be happy there. We wish we were back in Egypt. You see, dear friends, simply relocating or moving is not going to bring you true happiness. I'm not saying it's a sin to relocate. I'm not saying it's a sin to move. But I'm saying if you're relocating and you're moving because you say, that'll make me happy, you're going to be fooled. Because you're going to find that the same problems you had where you're coming from are waiting for you. And perhaps bigger problems are waiting for you when you get to where you're going. Let me say too this morning that happiness is not found in freedom from rules and regulations. As a young man, I thought that might be the case. As a younger man, I thought, I cannot wait to get out from under mom and dad's house. There'll be no more rules. There'll be no more regulations. I can be a free spirit and I'll be happy. Every young person has had that thought. If they haven't had that thought, you will have that thought. You're going to say, I can't wait to get away from mom and dad. I'm going to be so much happier when I don't have to live there. Let me say this morning that your happiness is not going to be found in whatever age of life you're in. This typically is seen in younger years, but in whatever age of life you're living in, happiness is not necessarily found in freedom from rules and regulations. Particularly for the young, I think it's important that we train up our children in the way that they should go. Raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we are told and promised that when they're older, they won't depart from it. We find in Lamentations that it's good for a man to bear his yoke or a yoke in his youth. I think that's too, perhaps involving rules and regulations, giving them a structured life so that when they're older, when they become a man and no longer in their youth, they'll have that good structure in their life. But I think that was probably part of the prodigal son's hope. I think he thought, man, if I could just get my inheritance, if I could just get my money and go over here to this far country, I'll be happy. Well, we know, again, that's another example that relocation doesn't make you happy. He went far away to another country, and he wasn't happy. After he had spent all of his money on riotous living, he's in there eating the husk of the field, and he's wishing he was back in his father's house. That house that he probably said is too full of rules and regulations. I don't want to live there anymore. I want to be out on my own. I want to be a free spirit. Well, I don't believe that he found happiness in that way of life. And so, again, I say this morning that happiness is not necessarily found in external things and circumstances such as these. You say, well, Brother Nathan, you've spent a lot of time telling us what happiness isn't and what won't make us happy. Well, what will make us happy? Let me say this morning that our happiness is completely dependent upon our relationship with God. It's completely dependent upon our relationship with God. If you look to the 144th Psalm this morning in verse 15, you'll find there where David says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You want to be happy? The Bible, as I said, says a lot about how a man can be happy. But I believe this is the crux. This is the key. It all flows back. If you want to be happy, then your God had better be the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, that's a very odd statement, isn't it? Where it says that if we're going to be a happy people, then our God must be the Lord. I thought God was God overall. I thought He was a sovereign God. Well, He certainly is, isn't He? He sits in heaven right now ruling in the affairs of man, among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God is God overall. There is nothing that is not subject to the sovereign control of our God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth, and all things are naked and open before Him. You can't hide anything from the Lord. God is your God, whether you believe it or not. The belief of something doesn't necessarily make something a reality. We know that this morning. Neither does the unbelief of something make it non-existent. We know that to be the case. Certainly in terms of salvation, don't we? People say, well, you have to believe, and through that belief, then will flow your eternal salvation. Just because you believe you're saved, or you believe that you have faith in a God who will save you, your belief will not make that a reality. Neither will your unbelief of that make it cease to exist. And the same is true with God. Whether you believe God is God, whether you choose to make God your Lord, He's still your God. Your unbelief or your belief one way or the other will not change that fact. I was thinking about that some yesterday and this morning as I worked there at CVS and I'm ringing customers out. There's a lady that came up to the cash register on Friday evening, and she bought three or four things of lice, shampoo and that red stuff and combs and stuff to get rid of lice. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what's the point? The point is this, that she was standing there and I was ringing out her items. I started to itch a little bit and I thought, I've got lice. This is it. This is the end. I've got lice. I'm going to have to shave my head, and it's all over. Well, about 20 minutes passed, and I stopped itching. And I realized it was just in my head. You know, it was just in my head. The belief that I had lice didn't actually change the fact that I didn't have lice. Or a few years ago, Tori and I, when we were still courting and we were going to Kings Island, the whole way there, I was telling her, this is bad. I'm a little bit hefty. I'm not going to be able to fit on the rides. And she said, just think positive. You'll be able to fit. And lo and behold, I got there having thought positive for about 2 hours and I didn't really fit on all the rides. So my belief didn't change the fact that I wasn't going to fit on those rides, nor did the belief that I have lice change the fact that I didn't have lice. So you understand this morning what I'm saying, that the belief of something does not make it a reality. Neither does the unbelief of something make it non-existent. And so here David says, if you want to be happy, then you need to recognize that God is your Lord. That is, to make a conscious decision in your life that this God of gods, this Lord of lords and King of kings, He is going to be such in my life. That's what it's all about, dear friends. If you want to be happy, it is all about your relationship with God. One famous preacher, John Piper, he has a famous saying. He says that God is most glorified when we are satisfied in Him. You know, that's very true, I think. I think God is glorified when we're satisfied in Him. But dare I twist that this morning and say it this way, that we are most satisfied, we are most happy when God is the most glorified in us. I think that's the truth of the matter, that we will find happiness in our lives based upon the extent to which we live to glorify the Lord and having this conscious choice that God will be our Lord. You say, well, Brother Nathan, how can we recognize God as God? How can we be happy in that? What types of things should we be doing in our lives to recognize that God is our Lord? Well, they're very simple things. Perhaps the most simple thing you can do is to keep the word of the Lord. To keep the word of the Lord. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, "He that keepeth the law, happy is he." And we mentioned a few weeks ago at the time of our feet washing where Christ in John chapter 3, He says that now having heard these things, happy are you if you do them. So there's great happiness that flows from keeping the word of the Lord. That's what we ought to be concerned about in our daily lives, holding it fast in our minds, remembering it in our minds, reflecting upon it, meditating upon it in our lives. But that's not the end of the story. While that's somewhat of just learning the word and holding it in our minds, keeping the word is altogether something different. That's why Christ said, "Happy are ye if you do them." There's active obedience that's involved in keeping the word of the Lord. Again, we find in the Psalms chapter 128 and verse 1, that blessed, that word blessed means happy. Happy is everyone that walketh in His ways. And that's the hard part, isn't it, for us as disciples and Christians. That's the hard part. Anybody can learn and read the Word. They can go get a dollar copy of the Bible. They can go get a Strong's Concordance and study upon the Word of the Lord. But keeping the Word and walking in His ways, that's the hard part. And God help me that I might do better in keeping and walking in His Word. But we find, too, another way that we can make God our Lord, and that is not only just in keeping His Word, but also trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Again, Proverbs chapter 16, we find where Solomon says, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Happy is he. You want to be happy in this life? Keep the Word of the Lord and trust in the Lord. Not only trust Him that He will keep the Word He's given, but trust that He is able to keep the promises that He's given to you. Trust that He will deliver you and that He will keep the promises that He's, as I said, given unto you. I've mentioned this perhaps in the past when it comes to trusting the Lord. Of course, Solomon said in another place, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. But when it comes to trusting the Lord, you say, how can I do that? Well, think about just falling, if you will, into the arms of the Lord. Just imagine that in your mind. Standing up on this podium here, or this stage that we have, just imagine that you were facing backwards and the Lord was back here and you're just letting go of all the control that you have. And you're just saying, I'm going to fall into the arms of the Lord and I'm going to trust that He'll catch me. I'm going to trust that He will hold me up by the power of His right hand and that He'll do all the things that He has promised to do. That you're not relying on yourself. Sometimes when it comes to that moment to fall backwards, you might start to kind of not only doubt the Lord, but you might kind of start to rely upon yourself and say, well, maybe I need to fall this way to make sure He catches me. Maybe I need to make sure I don't fall too fast or something along those lines, relying on our own strength and our own wisdom. I'm saying the more you can let go of your life and put into the hands of the Lord, the happier you're going to be today. Not relying on self, not relying on our own wisdom this morning. We can certainly recognize the truth that God's wisdom is higher than our wisdom. All of our wisdom, if you put it together, would fall completely short of the wisdom of our omniscient God. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Rely rather upon the wisdom of the Lord. Again, Solomon says in Proverbs 3 that the man that findeth wisdom and retaineth wisdom, that is talking about the wisdom of God, the man that finds and retains that wisdom, happy is he. There's something to be said for that. And trusting the Lord and His judgment when it comes to having the wisdom and discerning right from wrong and iniquity with righteousness and paths for our life. Trust in Him and His wisdom. But not only those few things, perhaps we also need to fear God more in our lives. Perhaps we need to fear God more. Job said something along those lines, Proverbs 28 says, he that feareth always, happy is he. That's talking about having a fear of God. Now, that's something that's lacking in today's society, I believe. That's something that we are falling very short in having today. In our homes, in our schools, in our businesses, there's no fear of God anymore, is there? There's no recognition and respect of God. For the God that He is. When I'm talking about fear, I'm not talking about a mortal fear. I'm talking about a reverential fear. That is a respect of God. And a fear that He is a sovereign God, an omnipotent God, and He's laid out certain paths for our lives and our behaviors. And if we don't follow along those lines, there will be chastenings of the Lord. I believe that's all rolled up into having a reverential fear of God. In fact, Paul says in Hebrews that seeing we have a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God more acceptably with reverence and fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Our God hates sin and He will do according to His will and chastening His children according to the sin in their lives. But we find that that's just something that's lacking, I believe, in society today. There was an article not too long ago in GQ magazine. I don't know if any of you have ever read that magazine or know what it is. It's a men's magazine. But there was an article in GQ that said the Bible is the most overrated book that's ever been. Such blasphemous words. I tell you, if you got a subscription to that or the company that they're a part of, you ought to go home and cancel that subscription. Because that's nothing, as I said, but just blasphemous words that are full of no respect and no fear for the things of the Lord. And oh, how we've just slipped from that in our society. 50 years ago, even if one didn't believe the Bible, there would not be so much outlandish cries against it. There was still at least a certain respect that this was the Word of God, and you didn't speak against the Bible. But oh, we've slipped in today's society, and I believe that if we're not careful, we're going to keep falling further and further into perhaps the characteristics that the Apostle Paul uses in Romans when he talks about those that have no fear of the Lord. Go home and read Romans 1, 2, and 3 and see the end result of a society that does not fear the Lord. One that is not willing to submit themselves to the corrections and to the chastenings of the Lord. That's another thing I believe that'll make us happy. And that's what Job said. I got a little ahead of myself earlier. Job chapter 5 and verse 17. Job says that the one that's corrected of the Lord, he's a happy man. He's a happy man. And that's kind of a paradox, isn't it? To think that being corrected by God would somehow make you happy. And a lot of the things that we find in the Bible are paradoxes. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ, again, showing that God cares about our happiness, says, blessed or happy is this man, blessed or happy is this man. He gives us several beatitudes, as they're called. But one of them we find there, just thinking about it, is, blessed is the man that mourns. Well, that's kind of a paradox, isn't it? We find that a lot in Scripture. But the point when seeing a paradox is not to sit back and say, that can't be right, that contradicts itself, that's contrary to the wisdom of man. That's not our burden, that's not our job. Our burden as disciples is to say that while that might be a paradox and not seem to make sense and contradict itself, I'm going to believe it for what it says, and I'm going to adopt it and implement it in my life. And so it's kind of a paradox when Job says that the one that is corrected or chastened by the Lord is a happy man. You say, Brother Nathan, how can you be happy in the chastenings of the Lord? Well, first and foremost, I believe it's because it reminds us of who we are in relation to God. God is as our Father and chastens those as His children whom He loves. And so we ought to take great comfort. We ought to have great happiness in that. I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of a bad day you think you're having. You remind yourself you're a child of the King. That ought to make you the happiest person on earth. To say the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He's not just a sovereign God sitting up on the throne room in heaven, but He's my Father, and He acts as my Father. And so I think there's great comfort and happiness that can come from reminding ourselves that He is our Father. Not just along those lines, but also because He is acting as our Father. He's not going to lead us astray in our chastenings or in our corrections. He's not going to deceive us. He's doing it because He loves us. And He wants to put our behavior back on the right path in this life. Now, that's not pleasant to endure the chastenings of the Lord. Maybe you can look back in your own life and see times perhaps when the Lord was trying to correct you. It's not necessarily a pleasant time. But you can be happy in thinking about how much the Lord loves you. And because He loves you, He chastens and corrects you. I hope and I pray that I'll never be so hard-headed and hard-hearted not to recognize the chastenings of the Lord. That's something I'm very fearful of. I pray that the Lord never has to get my attention in a big way. But I recognize that that is a possibility. So we are happy because we're keeping the word of the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. We're fearing the Lord. Now we come to perhaps one last one this morning, and that is hoping in the Lord. If you want to be happy and you want to make God your Lord, then you need to hope in the Lord. Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 146 and 5, "Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord his God." You know, hope, as I've said before, is not just a pipe dream. It's not just wishful thinking. It is an earnest expectation that something will come to pass. And so when I say that you're needing to hope in the Lord, as I said, that is hoping that He'll fulfill His Word and hoping that He will keep the promises He's given, that He is faithful, that is promised, and He will deliver you in times of trial here, just as He's delivered in times past. He'll still yet deliver you, and then coming one blessed morning, He'll deliver you, body, soul, and spirit, from this low ground of sin and sorrow. I'm telling you, if you can have that hope, if you can have that earnest expectation, you will be happy in this life. To have the thought that my God is able. That He's able. No matter what I'm facing in this life, He's able to deliver me from it. No matter what circumstances I have that face me, my God is able to deliver me. And to have that steadfast hope of the blessings that come to us through serving Him and the deliverance that will come not only from those trials, but at the last day. I'm telling you, there's great hope and happiness in that. Don't hope in the things of this world and hope that they'll make you happy. Certainly don't hope in men. Men will let you down every time. The faithful fail from among the children of men. If you put your hope and your confidence in me, I hope you haven't these last 2 years necessarily, but I'm telling you, if you do, you're going to be disappointed. You will be. Men will let you down at any given time. Dear friends, don't hope in the things of this world and say they'll make you happy. I'm telling you, happiness isn't found in the wealth and the possessions of this life. It's not found in saying, I wish I had somebody else's life. It's not found in saying, I wish I could just move far, far away and get away from the problems and the troubles that are vexing my soul. It's not saying, if I could just be a free spirit and live out from under these rules and regulations. That's not happiness. Those things will lead to nothing but more vanity and vexation of spirit. Rather, we need to put our hope and our confidence in the Lord. That's truly what will make us happy. I believe that's what David had in mind when he said, "Why art thou cast down, my soul?" And then he answered his question, "Hope thou in God." That's the answer to it all. The answer for the one that is downtrodden and the depressed and the discouraged and those that say, I'm an emotional wreck. I just wish I had a happier life. I'm telling you this morning, dear friends, your happiness is found in the Lord. And you need to set your affections upon Him. It's not found in anything that might be a circumstance external in your life. But recognize it's truly in Him. And notice how all these things flow back to God. Being happy, as we found throughout the Bible, and keeping His Word, not my Word, keeping His Word. Or perhaps trusting in Him and His wisdom as opposed to ours and mine. And having happiness found in the fear and the corrections of the Lord. And hoping in Him, it all flows back to God. And I'm thankful this morning that I can number myself perhaps for a short while among these people that are found in Psalm 144 and 15. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. My God's not found among the frailties of men, but my God is the Lord. And I'm telling you, if I can hold that thought in my mind, and if you can hold that thought in your mind, you'll be a happy, happy person. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Let's stand and sing 193 this morning.